Gracious Father, above we thank for today again, Lord, for our coming together, blessed to breaking of thy bread, O Lord, and you can make us to understand some of the simple things in this record of yours, Father, that you have put down. That, Lord, we learning it, Father, may learn to walk in the holy word of God and in the life the Lord you have given us in the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray now in Jesus' name that you bless us now, Lord. Amen. All right, to the book of your Bible, Judges, chapter 17. In our last study, we deal with Samson and his life, and we know that if we go back to history a little bit, and we know that when the 12 tribes of Israel conquered the land that God gave them, they went through a campaign to take control of the land. But many of them never really be wiped out. The giants, the Canaanites, the Philistines and all. And it seems that there are 12 tribes, and it doesn't appear that they are cooperating anyway. Some of them, they're just not helping the other. And one of the tribes that was really bad, in a bad shape, is the tribe of Dan. Dan seemed to be quite a lazy tribe, people. You know, when they cross over the river Jordan, and over to the west, they want to take this coastal area where the Philistines are. But they were not able to overcome the Philistines because they were too strong. And I guess, I do not know whether they have asked for help from the other tribes or not to help them secure those land, those territory. So somehow or other, they were bunched up all together in this small little piece of area here, which is of course bordered by the river Ajalon, and on the south, of course, by this town of Timna and Zora, and on to the west in Kijah Jearim. So this is the area that they have. Now, Dan has 64,000 men soldiers, or men of war, called Dan, alright? And of course, their family are all living there, so they are not satisfied with this land. Okay, so they have a problem right here, and we know that when we look into the last few chapters, even Samson was from this area. And you know that it seems that why that in this early period, we know that the tabernacle of Moses is placed in the city called Shiloh, and which is right over here in Ephron. If you look at here, Shiloh, this is where it is. Okay? Now, this is where the tabernacle of Moses is put. It's called, we will call it the central sanctuary. The place where everybody should come together for worship. But throughout this scattered land, you know, children of Israel are like this, and I always say this enough, and a lot of people don't realize what they are reading in the Bible many times, and I learned over the years, since I came out from denomination, throwing away all those traditions and interpretations of men, and then come to the message, and as I began to learn all the years, I discovered a lot of things that we tend to have a lot of what we have in our mind or in our understanding still at the back of it, our head, that is to say our brain, traditional thing that's still left there, and we still sometimes tend to take that and interpret it. You know? So over the years, God began to show the word of God more clearly. And one of the things that I began to realize is that the children of Israel, though they were chosen of God, they don't have revelation, many of them. They just keep on falling back to idolatry. But why idols? The question is, why idols? In so much that on the when the Gentiles came into the gospel in the book of Acts, as you read the record, and yet they were the council at Jerusalem, the elders and apostles have to write and dictate laws to these Gentiles, and one of them is to say that keep away from idols. You know. You see, it seems that when people read that, what was written, they don't realize how much the children of Israel were involved in idol worship. Even throughout this time now, in the days of Samson, all that you read in the book of Judges, It's because scattered throughout all these 12 tribes, the sanctuary being that it is in Ephraim in Shiloh, many of these tribes, they have their little own pet gods, their own household gods. They have their own altar even at home. Why is it so? After all, they should know what Moses' commandment that God gave to Moses said. The Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt have no other God before me, thou shalt not make any graven image. Is that right? And yet they make graven images, they make idols. They have all kinds of God, wood they sculpt out. Or wood, they will use metal, bronze or silver, you know, to mold an idol. And it seems that even though at that time they are having idol, they were using, many of them were using this idol to depict that this is God. Just like in the days of Enos, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis. When, remember what the Bible said when Enos was born, you know, and Adam called him Enos, was because the word Enos means frail, weak, sickly. Because it was in that generation that the people of the world at that time, the Canaanites, they were invoking the name of Yahweh or invoking the name of God into these idols. They are worshiping those idols as if it is God that they didn't know. Now remember this, Cain was dealt with by God. Is that right? And his descendants somehow that knew about Yahweh. But now they think that they want to have some object that they could see and say, this is Yahweh. And so you have this Yahwehism or Yahwehish. Yahweh wish, or whatever you want to call it, people who believe in Yahweh, but form into something like a cult, just like Judaism today. And you know, Judaism is not of God, Yahwehism is not of God, it's something that man created, like Christianity today, it isn't of God. Like denominationalism, we would say, you see, it is being churchy, we would say, you know what I'm saying? Churchism. It's a tradition, something that we just hold on to because we were taught and we were passed down. We use our own many imaginations and this is the way. This is how we should worship God. You know. And so it is such a pillar like this. Now we begin here in chapter 17. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Makar. Now in the book, in the Bible, it's written Makar. Alright? Makar. Now the thing is that if you read later on over in verse 5, the word here also is Makar. But there are two different Hebrew words right here. The word here in verse 1 is that whose name was Mikayahu. Actually it's Mikayahu. That means his name is, the word actually depict means who is like Yahweh. Who is like Yahweh. But in verse 5 the word Yahu, Yah, is removed. So he just left in Mikah. And from there on that's the name. Yeah, Makar. Not Makayahu anymore. So what is God trying to show here is that the state of the children of Israel by this man, how that they have fallen from that which Moses had taught them, from which that which Joshua had taught them. Now this is a period of the judges after Joshua died. You see? And they were looking for a leader, someone to lead them and all this. But the Lord already given them, everything was given them for them to guide them. But they were not following it. Alright? And he said to his mother, you know where Mount Ephraim is? Mount Ephraim is right here, this Mount Ebal region here. North of Shechem, around Shechem. Alright? And he said to his mother, the 1100 shekel of silver that were taken from thee. Now that's a lot of silver, about which thou cursed and spake also in my ear, behold, the silver is with me. I took it, and his mother said, blessed be thou to Yahweh, my son. Now here we have, Mikayahu was a thief. He saw that his mother had so much money, so much silver, 1100 pieces of silver. And he stole it from the mother. And when the mother found out the money was stolen, she cursed. She doesn't know who, obviously, but she cursed. Whoever took it, you know, passed all these curses. So apparently somehow Mikhail realized that, oh, okay, that was bad. The cursing was bad. So make note of the mother said, I'm the one who stole it. And the mother said, oh, bless you, my son. You know, blessed be thou of Yahweh. He used the word Yahweh, no doubt about it. They still have connection to Yahweh. Alright. And when he has restored 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. So, the son returned it to him. He says, okay, I'll dedicate this to Yahweh, to make a molten image and a graven image. Then he said to the son, now I restore you unto you. Now 1,100. But look at what he said in verse 4. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder. Now instead of really dedicating, oh, actually it's only a lot of talk. Reminds me of Sapphira, isn't it? And Ananias of Sapphira's case. He said, right, so having they got all this order we have. You know, and only took 200 silver and give it to someone who is a founder, someone who can, melt it down and make something out of it, who therefore will make that of a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Makkah, not Makkah Yahuwah anymore. Okay? Now, when we look into this, what is this graven image? And what is a molten image? The word here are two different words in Hebrew. Now, the graven image is, I did the research on, even the Jewish, this is Old Testament. You look into some of the old, the Hebrew background, how they look at this, their own Bible. And to the rabbi, they don't even believe, they don't even know what this is. Some of them believe that it could be Hadar. Wow, I would say Hadar. Let me just call that up from here so that you can understand and look at some of the graven images of those days. Alright? So this is one kind of an idol. Okay? Yeah, there you have this. These are all teraphim. They call it another name. They call it in Hebrew. You find out if you look in it, it's called teraphim. Alright? This is Hadar. Or Yahoah. They don't call it a calf because in the Bible it means it's an insult. They don't call it a calf. Okay? So this is some kind of a thing that they worship it. You know what? You know, when I think about this, artifacts that they got out from archaeological dig. You know, archaeological dig, they dig around there and doing all the research. They found a lot of all kinds of strange idols. And so, some of them believe that this graven image could be an image like this Hadar, this bronze bull, because it reminds them of what they were trying to create in Mount Sinai, the golden calf. You know? But others do not believe. Others believe that it's something to do with the cherub. Okay? Because they describe in the Bible about, how that you look in Ezekiel and how that the vision of Ezekiel, the different vision of Ezekiel, they saw all these living creatures and how the God came out sitting on a cloud or some kind of glory. So the picture, it will have something like a cherub. You see, or perhaps it could be an image, a replica, or a small replica, perhaps of the Ark of the Covenant. So that's a lot of things that we do not know, what this bronze image they were. So these are some of them, too. This is something like, this is probably a silver, teraphim, right here. You know? This is a carved image. Carved out a piece of stone, a silver carving. Okay? And the man Makkah had a house of gods. Now, the word gods, of course, in Elohim. Remember the word in Hebrew for God, whether it's capital G or small g, whatever it is Elohim. You know, Elohim, of course, to the theologian, I am always means plural. But not necessarily being plural. It could be many gods, as well as just magnificent. Alright? God in glory. So if you have a house full of gods, that house must be a house of it's a magnificent house full of magnificent God. The God is very powerful because there are so many. My God is only one. Your Elohim is many. My Elohim is only one, But they still use the word Elohim. Okay? So he has a house of God. And he make an ephod and a teraphim and consecrate one of his sons who became his priest. Now, you know what an ephod is, don't you? Now, let me just show you what an ephod is right here. This is a priest, high priest garment. This front piece here, alright, that is worn like a vest, is called an ephod. Alright, and of course, this piece in front of it is called the Urim and Thummim. Alright, this is not part of the ephod. The ephod is this piece. Okay, so this is a priest uniform. So, you know, Macomb make himself one. You see, so what is he doing? He's trying to create his own house of worship. And he's not just the only one. He is probably one of many, many, many. But practically because he came from a rich home, you know, his mother has a lot of money, and he must be well to do. I guess he just got greedy, and he has a lot of gods in his house. He just want to feel, okay, now I want to worship. And, you know, it's just like in Singapore today. You look at some of the HDB apartment. I live in a block where he has already moved out. I live in a block where, you know, his whole living room is gods, full of gods, even idols. And people came from all over the island of Singapore to worship and start burning incense. And so people complain, and somehow he was told to stop. You know what I'm saying? It is not a temple like you have on a temple outside. He makes his house the temple and his house of God. You know, different idols that they have, people come worship. You see? So this is like that. This is what Macar did. And he was just one of the many scattered throughout Israel. But this is just an example. There's record here for our understanding. Now in those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Oh dear. You know, remind me the same here today in the church of God. God has his program and his plan and his purpose of doing certain things. But here we have, well, you know, there was no leadership, so to speak, and men, everyone do that which is right in his own eye. Because the problem is that the children of Israel cannot look to Yahweh as their king. Because the Bible already told them. You see. That God wanted to be a king. They were always looking for a king. They wanted to look at all the other nations. They having a king. They are looking for a king. And it was so much later in the days of Samuel that we find Saul was chosen as king. They were looking for a king. They wanted to see. They wanted to see something physical. And that's what I said. You know, look at the children of Israel. Why you have all this terrapin, this idol? Why? Because to them, okay, the Canaanites, they have their gods. Okay, they can see their God. They worship their God. And how wonderful this big idol, this statue, this gods. You know, if they've been to India. You know, when I first went to India, you know, I passed through all this temple and down the country road, you see all the shrines. And the country road, where there hardly any houses, you know, one or two houses get there, you see a shrine there. And the shrine there is all decorated with flowers, you know, and something burning. And go to the temple, oh my, they have all the carving and, you know, voluptuous women and serpents and whatever, they have a carving right there on the building, a temple. And you in front of the temple, maybe it's some, I don't know, what is that, I can't remember whether it's an elephant or what, you know, I can't remember. Or it's a cow. And they have, you know, they decorate it, you know, they polish it. Everything is just so grand. And look at the churches today, look at the Catholic Church. It's big. 5,000 here and there, and you have statue, and you have all the saints there. You have the candle lights there. You have the flowers there. It's big. Look at you go to Philippines, you see the Iglesia Ni Cristo, that Church of Christ, the green building. Oh, beautiful. Everything they could see with their eyes, they identify, and that's why it goes back to Nimrod. Why did Nimrod build that tower? Big. So I went in, big look at it. Oh, God is big. God is powerful. That's why people compare churches. Like my church is 10,000 strong. Yours is only 50 people here. So what is this? And you always told them, I'm so glad at least I'm maybe 30, 40, 50 people. But Jesus got only 12. It is not the quantity, it's the quality. And you know that the disciples didn't go around acting like crazy people, speaking in tongues on the street anyhow. Or even when they come together to worship, they just simply blow away like what you Pentecostal charismatic are doing. And yeah, I was guilty of it once upon a time when I was in a Pentecostal church. When somebody blabbed, I also blabbed out, you know. But I learned to know, realize, you know, control myself because I realized what Paul said was not what is happening. It should not be what is happening today. You see. So we need to understand that, but human beings, the children of Israel, they look for physical. They want to have something that they can see and touch. A God they can touch. You know, like, you know, Chinese people, I'm sure that's the same with the Hindu religion, and in the Chinese religion, or even the Buddhism or anything. Even in Christianity and Catholicism. They want to touch a statue. Right, you understand? You see that they see a cross, or maybe see the Buddha with a big tummy, and going, you know, touch the tummy and hopefully there's some kind of luck. Is that not right? Or during, I remember in those days back then, you know, when I was young, my mom went to carry one of the novena things, you know. Come home with candlestick. You know, those are holy. You see? People have, they think all these ornaments have virtues in it. You know. So that's what the children of Israel were doing. They want to touch their idols. They want to have idols they can see, they can place. They can bow down to. Oh my. But there were no king those days. Everybody do what they think was right in their own eyes. And there was a man of the Bethlehem Judah, the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. Now this, here was a young man, a young Levite. Now a Levite are not necessarily priests. You understand what I mean? He could be a priest, or he could not be a priest, but the Bible didn't tell whether he was a priest. Okay, until later on I found out maybe some people believe that he was a priest because of what written on the end of it. But we do not know whether he was a priest, but he sojourned there. Now, why was he sojourning there? Do you know that scattered throughout the whole of this land of Canaan, all these 12 tribes, they are scattered there. The children of Levi, the Levites, they don't have any land for inheritance. So where do they live? They all don't live around the temple. You know that? There were 48 cities scattered throughout the land, in which they have their own inheritance. And there was supposed to be religious leader guiding the people in that area. Now this one here was from Bethlehem, Judah. You know Bethlehem, of course, was in Judah. And right here. And he went over to the north. He sojourned. So why? He's running away from his place of beauty. You know what I'm saying? You see. And that's why I believe that all those years, you know, back then here in Singapore, people says, oh, God called me to preach. Yeah, I'm a preacher and a message and this and that. You know what? If God called you to preach, you have a duty right here in Singapore. You know, sometimes I feel like, oh, this place in Singapore is so messed up. I feel like maybe migrate over to New Zealand and leave everyone here alone. But I have a responsibility. I cannot migrate. You can. You know what I'm saying? I have a responsibility. I cannot migrate. I have to be at my place of duty. I cannot find a green pasture and say, oh, yeah, New Zealand, maybe there's a church. And brother, can come over here. We have 100 people come and preach to us. Be our pastor. Lead the church in Singapore. Anyway, you don't have stress. You have so much stress in Singapore. Come over here. You can relax. You know, there's a lot of greenery here. You can relax. But this is a kind of a fallen Levite. He sojourned. I don't know what. He doesn't like Judah or what up there. But so he sojourned. He went, looked for, on a journey. He's not an alien. You're right. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Makkah, as he journeyed. Now, I don't know, perhaps he had heard of Makkah or not, no idea. But definitely this Levi has a certain motive. Alright? Like a preacher who, in the Philippines, oh my, some brother just like that, you know, oh, this place, I'm here, I'll reach. Just then people, they cannot even support me with their tithes. Let me go to another place, you know. So they were perhaps for personal gain. I do not know about this Levite. He could be an economic thing. Whether he was perchance that he fought, came across this house of Makkah, or that he heard about Makkah and what he had, a house of God, and perhaps he wanted to go there for opportunity. Alright. And Makkah said unto him, whence come thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, and I go sojourn where I may find a place. You see? Sojourn where I may find a place. And Makkah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. It means a father means a religious father, you know. And a priest who will meditate between God and so on. And I will give thee 10 shekels. Well, that's 10 shekels of silver by the year. 10 shekels of silver by the year is quite a good sum. I mean, it must be. You know, not only that, and a suit of apparel and thy food, the virtual food meal. So the Levite went in. That's not bad. You know? And I just think about it, and he got a suit, apparel. I don't know what kind of apparel. Could be a priest's apparel, or could be just, you know, a nice clothes for him. And the Levite was contented to dwell with the man. And the young man was also unto him as one of his son. And Makkah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Makkah. Then said Makkah, no, know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Ha ha! And that's something. See, no, can I go Levite? God must be blessing me. And that's the problem. You know, God give me a good job. God must be with me. When God give me a lousy job, I got no job, God doesn't like me. You know, what kind of thinking is that? He likes pious, huh? Pious, huh? You know, God must be me. No, I dedicate him to the Lord. You know, that is self-opinionated person. It's a self-opinionated person. Don't, you know, here is my effort. Okay? Now, Shiloh is just here. Ain't very far. Probably about 10, 15 kilometers or so away. The temple is right here. And now he wants to have his own house of God and a priest to himself. A priest that will pray for him, meditate between him and God, whatever he wanted to seek God for. You know one of the things about idols? Just like in the days of Jacob's children, they all have idols. Even when they want to travel, they have to ask this teraphim, these idols, whether the journey is good or bad. You know, it's a divination thing. And they said this is Yahweh's will. You know, God just hope, just remain silent. There are times when God is so upset with them, they not even say anything. Just leave them. What do you think they will do? And then later on, God will do something. So, this is a condition. Alright? Chapter 15. In those days there was no king in Israel. Again, the Bible mentioned this. In those days there was no king, no leader. And in those that the tribe of the Danites saw them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all the inheritance have not fallen unto them among the tribe of Israel. Now, look at this map here, we understand. The Dan's tribes are right in this area. Okay? That's kind of a very small piece of land anyway, that's probably true. Maybe compared to Benjamin. They were not happy being that. They wanted to expand. They want more land. So, instead of conquering this area, which they cannot, because the Philistines were in control, now they want to find more land. So, what they do is that they go up somewhere. It's up there in the north, actually, a lot of space. A lot of territory up there in the north. So, then, the Danites then went up there. Because they were not quite settled down as yet. These are just the beginning after Joshua divided up the land. Couple of 10, 20, 30, 50 years or so. Alright? And the children of Israel of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah and from Eshtaol. You know where that is, don't you? That is right here. You have, okay? Zorah is right here. Alright. And a store should be somewhere on this left side anyway. So now, they sent five men up and spied the land to seek it. And they said to them, go seek the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Makkah, they lodged there. Now, here they were from Zorah, going this way. Now, you may look at a map and say, why? They could have gone by near the plain, the area of the plain, and therefore going this way, they could have come across Mount Eba, where Mount Ephraim is, where Makkah is. But you know, in those days, there are actually routes, there are paths. Trade routes were called that. Alright, travel's pathway, things like that. So, there is a King's Highway which is somewhere, should be coming around this region here. If I believe right, the King's Highway should be around this area, coming down. So, if they take this road, they would have to pass Shiloh, wouldn't it? Correct? But they don't want to stay anywhere near Shiloh, so they went all the way up. Now, they came to the house of Makkah. They knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. They knew the voice. They didn't say they recognized the man. They knew the voice of this Levite. What he's saying is that perhaps the way that the Levites speak, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever, some religious people who works in a temple, perhaps people who are preachers, they have a certain way of speaking. The religious one, you know, they have a certain way of speaking. Yeah, perhaps one day if I start talking to you, thou shalt not do that. Hey, thou shalt let us go eat kway tiao, and thou shalt not eat wonton mee, you know. Unto you shall I buy this bread for you. You know, you're talking something like that, something that they recognized that this person was a Levite. Do you understand what I'm saying? They knew the voice, not the face. They didn't say they recognized the man as a Levite. They knew the voice. He wasn't dressed in a priestly robe or something like that, just quite common. But they knew the voice, they knew that this man was a Levite. You know. And they turned in hither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what hast thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Makkah with me, and has hired me, and I am his priest. So he detailed all the information regarding Makkah, what he did, his house has many gods, and he has teraphim right there, you know, he has the ephod, and so, you know, I am his priest, you know. So, and he said unto them, unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God. Now this is of Elohim. He's like pointing to the gods there, in the house of, you know what I mean? On Makkah. He then says, seek, ask of Yahweh. No, he didn't mention the word Yahweh. He didn't mention the word Lord. You understand? He doesn't mention the word Elohim, God. He does. When we talk about God as, you know, it could be anything. Here when we talk about God, our God, we know who we're talking about. You see? But all the time when we talk about God's people, people say, what God are you talking about? Because it's a common word. You see, so here it seems that instead of mentioning Yahweh, apparently the thing referring to something that they can see, Elohim, that we may know whether our way we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, well, you know, he went in the house and they come out. And he said, yeah, go in peace. Before the Lord, before Yahweh is your way wherein you go. You see, yeah, go. Yahweh, you know, where you go, you should prosper. So this is very general to say, yeah, go. You know, as you say, before God knew your way, what you're doing, go. That is to say, if you fail, you know, I will tell you, God knew. If you conquer and you win, say, yeah, I told you, God knows. It's just something like that, so non-committed, you know. Then the five men departed and came to Laish. Now this is where Laish is. It's in the north. This is the area of what you see now, the territory of Dan. Laish is actually a little town area, or a little city, or whatever is written from what I studied, there's not much really a big place. Let's continue. And saw the people that were therein, and they dwelt callous, after the manner of the Zidonian, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were not far, they were far from the Zidonian and had no business with any man. This group of people that lived there, they don't have any allies. And the Zidonian is in the north. And this is this big Mount Lebanon right here, you know, this range here. Well, they feel quite secure anyway. They don't feel like being, nobody will attack them. They don't have any large army, you know, to worry about, you know. So they feel kind of secure. Alright? You know, no country is ever secure, not even Singapore. How small it is. We think that we are quite secure, we are never secure. No country is ever secure. And they came unto their brethren to Zorah and Esther, and their brethren and said unto them, what say you? So after they seen all that, the report, they went back and report. And the elders said, arise, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go to enter to possess the land. When you go, you shall come unto a people secure and to a large land. For God, you see again, he said, use the word Elohim. Nothing to do with Yahweh. Have given into your hands a place where there is no lack of anything that is in the earth. And they went from thence of the family of Danai, out of Zorah, out of Eshtaol, 600 appointed with weapons of war. Now, it says 600 out of 64,000. I believe there are 64,000 men of war. And they went up. Now, together with them, of course, they brought their family. Okay, their children, their wives, all in the going of, in bullock carts, and in you know, whatever they transport, they're available. But 600 men of war were going there to take the land, and immediately they're going to settle in that land. And they went up and pitched in Kijah Jearim in Judah. And therefore they called that place Mahanidand unto this day. Behold, it is behind Kijah Jearim, which is, of course, right here, when they left Zorah, this is the place where they landed. This is Eshtaol is right here. They packed everything and they left, and that night they came there. And after that they continued the following day, and they passed on to Mount Ephron and came unto the house of Makkah. Then they answered the five men that went to spout the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, do you know that there is in this house an ephor, which pertain, of course, to the priests, ephor, when you use the word, and teraphim, which is the idols, and graven images, and molten images. And now, therefore, consider what ye have to do. So now, this five men said, so we came here, do you know that there's an ephor in this place, in these houses here, and they even have gods right here. You know, the teraphim, the image, the golden, the modern image. Now, there are actually four objects. Remember, there are four objects. The ephor, a teraphim, is some sort of idols. I don't know what that is. Nobody really know. A graven image and a molten image. The graven image is the one that is more important. The molten image is something like molten, something that is probably metal melt down into a base for the idol to stand. So, that's how sometimes they believe there could be a cherubim, you know, on the base, just like what you see in the Ark of the Covenant. Or it could be that bull standing on top of the base, something like that. Okay? So nobody really know what or not that is. We don't have to worry about it. We know those are idle stuff. So now here now they're coveting. You know what a commandment they should do? The Bible said thou shalt not covet. Now they are coveting. Okay. You know, they are living very near to Shiloh. Not very far. In fact, they are quite near to Shiloh. And compared to Judah, or compared to Reubens and all the other tribes. You know. And yet, though they were religious about Yahweh, they were not actually acknowledging Yahweh. They will have no proper relationship with Yahweh. That's why being a Christian, what is your relationship with God? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a daily contact with Him or you? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And when everything is blissful, you don't think about Him. When you are in trouble, oh Jesus, oh Lord! It's not the way to go. What is your life? That's the reason why children of Israel got so far away from God. Now they are turning from some idol that they can see. And now the Pentecostal, just like what you watch in these assemblies of God, what's going on in Pentecostal and charismatic? The one that people are carried and emotionally motivated, moved by some sensation, some motion, some religious movement, something that they like, they can see, they can jump around. You know what I'm talking about? That's what it is. You know. But we should be more spiritual to understand what God is doing. See? Alright, let's continue with that. Next, verse 15. And they turned hitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Makkah, and slew him. And the 600 men appointed with the weapons of war which were of the children of Dan stood by the entering of the gate. Now this gate may be a little town. Now having a town anyway got some kind of security though. Alright? And so the 600 men sort of appeared there with their weapons so as to make sure that those people in the town or in the little village right there realize that these people are, you know, having weapons there, and they're ready to do whatever they want to if you want to sort of approach them and antagonize them. So, and the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came hither, and they took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. Now, they talk, the 6,600 men, perhaps they have already approached the priest or the Levite and talked to him, you know, why those five men went in to the house and took the ephod, the graven image, the teraphim, and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men. They were appointed with weapons of war. And they went up into Makkah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, the teraphim, and the molten image. And then said the priest unto them, why do you do this? And they said unto him, now, hold your peace now. Lay thy hand upon thy mouth and go with us. So you keep quiet. Go with us to be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? Now which will you prefer? You want to be a priest just to the house of one man and his family, perhaps in the little town here? Or would you like to be a priest to the whole tribe, you know, and to the family, or a family of the tribe of Dan, that you speak? You know, of course that is very attractive, isn't it? Huh? As you know what we see even, you know, in business, you offer, hey Paul, would you like to work for us? You'll be a CEO, you know, and you get double what you're getting now. Would you like to have it, you know, and you can control a big company rather than your little everyday stressful life, thin hair, white, whatever. You know, so you're being offered, you're being tempted. But in religious circles, these things are happening. Even in Christianity, it is happening. Yes, it is happening. And you can find that even now, it's not just a Methodist preaching to a Methodist church now. Even he's a good preacher, people can even get him transferred out to another organization, to another denomination, and get better pay. You'd be surprised this is going on. You see? So the priest said, yeah, of course I wanted it, but I wouldn't want it. I only get 10 shekels a year. My heart probably get more over there when I go with the Danites. Huh? And so, the Bible says here, and the priest's heart was glad. Oh, yes. Wouldn't you like to have more money? More prestige? I'm not just a priest in a little, to a little family, a little house, a small group. I'm a priest to a big group. Right? Isn't that right? Sure. Ever heard anybody talk to you about it? Have you ever, anyone approached to you and asked you where you fellowship? And you tell them, Prophetic Revelation Bible Study Fellowship. Never heard of it. Never heard of it. What is the church? Are we fellowship in the Tumulbi Association, theater group? Oh, that must be very small. Oh, yeah, about 50, 40, 50, 60 people. Oh, is that so? You know the church I came from? The Rock. Every Sunday we rock. And the whole auditorium rock. We have 2,000, 3,000, we rock. Man, what do you have? God is with us, the whole building rock. Oh yes, the new creation, you know. What are you complaining? You know what you're comparing? Is it, did your pastor drive a car? No. I know he rides second-hand motorcycle. Oh, my pastor drives a Mercedes Benz. You know, that's what people are comparing. Remember what Brother Bram said, I want to give you a nice car? I can't remember what car he was going to give it to him. He said, no, I don't want it. You know, my little Chevrolet truck is still working. And the little station wagon is still working. What a humble man. They give him $1 million. You ever had a check? He said, send it back. I don't need that money. What are we looking at? You see. And this is what is happening in Israel. What's the difference between Israel, natural Israel, literal, natural people in Israel, and compared to the spiritual Israel here we have today in the church world? Huh? The whole land of Canaan, Israel, the tribes, so many of them are fallen. They don't even know God at all. Yeah, Yahweh is their God, but they don't know Yahweh. They don't even know His word. Thou shalt not covet, they covered it, and then thou shalt not steal, they stole it. They stole all those things, those idols. Oh my. Well, and he was glad. Verse 20, and he took the ephod and the teraphim in a graven image. Now the word molten image is not mentioned here, that means it's not as important. Okay? Alright? And the teraphim is the one that they use for divination, sort of inquire about the journey and stuff like that. And when in the midst of the people, the Bible says, when in the midst of the people, as if then you know he's in the middle. Like you know, you've got a convoy, so he's in the middle and he's well protected because here's the priest. We have the priest. Protect him! And he must be in the midst. You know, that's what it seemed to be implied, that sort of thing as to, you know, that the tabernacle of Moses, the Ark of the Covenant, when they move, is in the center. Alright? In the midst of the people. Okay, and so they turn and depart and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. So of course the little one and all the family move forward first. Because when they move forward, going away from Macau's place, the soldier must be behind because they got to protect. No, they know that Macau's people is going to come after them. So they put the woman and the children move forward first. And our army stay back behind. In case the Macau and call up his men to attack them. And when they were a good way from the house of Macau, the men that were in the houses near to Macau's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Macau, what ail thee that thou come with such a company? They pretend. What are you coming up to so many people here for? You know this, they are pretentious. Huh? A lot of people pretend, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves. And he said, you have taken away my gods. Elohim. No, it just, the Bible used the word S because they mentioned before there were several, huh? No, not just one, which they still use the word Elohim, but here it's emphatic, there's Elohim. Okay? You have taken away my gods, which I made. Oh God, that you made. You know, the Bible emphasizes how the body is idol. It's all man-made. It's a man-made religion. Anything that you made, your opinion, everything you create is your own. It's nothing to do with God. You know what? You can have idols. Not necessarily anything that you can make with your hand like a piece of stone or carved wood. An idol could be something that is your own opinion. That can be so, you're so set in it, you know, that you cannot move away from it. It can be your idol. Do you understand that? And and you have taken my priest, and you are gone away. And what have I more? What is this that you sent to me? What ail thee? Now you dare to tell me you take away my priest and my idol and all these things and my gods? And the children of Dan said unto him, let not your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon you and thou lose your life with the life of thy household. Hey, keep on instigating. Don't raise your voice and come against me like that. You know, all these people behind me, they could hear what you're saying. They don't like it, they come upon you, I finish. I mean, how many hundreds do they have? You know what I mean? The people of Macau, I don't think that they have so many. They probably caught behind me 100, 200 men here, or 600 fighting men here. And this because people living around in the house, they are not fighting men. You know, so well, they give up. And the children of Israel then say unto him, verse 26. And the children of them went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house. So now what? He go back and say, oh, I was a thief and I stole some idols. My mom's money, and now she give me the money, and I make some gods, and so a bigger thief than me have taken them. A bigger thief have taken them. See that? And they took the thing which Makal had made, and the priest which he had, and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and securely were very comfortable, the people out there, and they smoked them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. So if you set the city on fire, you know, I don't know how big the city is, so far away people see the smoke, oh, they probably get worried a little bit about that, you know, that you have some enemy around, don't threaten them and don't antagonize them. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Sidon. And they had no business with any man, because they are no ally, they don't, you know, befriend anybody else, they just keep to themselves. And it was in a valley that lied by Beth Rohob, and they built a city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan. Now, strange thing I may, you know, Laish is a word that means lion. Dan was also supposed to be, if you look back to his father's prophecy over him, Dan is a lion's whelp. So is there some kind of connection, you know? Alright? And howbeit the name of city was Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. You see, that's a graven image, it's the important thing. Okay, whatever that may be. Alright? They must have associated this image very closely with Yahweh, as if it is this Yahweh. And Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh. Now, some of y'all's, your Bible, in your King James and King James Version, will read as the son of Manasseh. But in some other version, the Septuagint, NIV, they translate Moses, son of Moses. Now, the reason is that I came across it. The way that this word was written in Hebrew, there is an end word above the head of this word. It actually looked like the word Moses. And to the rabbi, to the Jewish rabbi, believed that it was the son of Moses. You know, Moses had a son called Gershom. Alright? And that Gershom has this son called Jonathan. So they do not want to disgrace the name. They believe, some Jews believe that it is Moses' son, grandson. They brought a disgrace to Moses, who had brought the law and all these things, you know, and the true worship of Yahweh. And so the rabbi believed that the writer of this book of Judges do not want to really mention the name Moses. Alright? To bring shame to his name. So therefore they put the word, an alphabet above the top, the word N above the word in Hebrew, and the actually, it's the word spelled Moses, but they make it in such a way not to read as Moses. So I do not know how true it really is, because there are other commentary or historians, they believe it doesn't really make sense to do that. You know? So we really do not know whether it was, because if it was Manasseh, well, Manasseh, you know, also have a problem, their own priest too on that ground, and so this could be the son of Gershom of Manasseh's line. Okay? But it doesn't really matter at this junction anyway. It would be important to realize that Dan set up the graven image. And that he and his son were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Makal's graven image, which he had made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. All the time that the house of God was in Shiloh, they just opposed God, building their own temple, building their own house of God. Now, just imagine this. Then, as a whole tribe, it's not just an individual person. Remember this, Micah is an individual. Throughout the land of Israel, we have individuals that They do all these things. You understand what I'm saying? They have their own household god, you know, things like that that they keep. But for the whole tribe of them, I mean, if it's just perhaps 600 men and their family, it's good enough to represent the whole tribe of them. To really oppose God by creating their own house of God, a place of worship, when they have this central worship right at Shiloh. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know? And that is the reason why the name of Dan was removed from the 12 tribes. You go over in the book of Revelation chapter 7. Remember, you don't see the name of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4 to 8. You don't see the name of Dan right there. Do you see that? During all this time in the book of Judges, in those days, then God appeared to be in confederate with, you know, with the rest of these tribes. He's kind of a loner, I think, you know, tribe. But perhaps only later we realize that they came back. But you really know what God really did. God already had put aside Dan portion. Dan is the tribe that went a-hauling after other gods as a whole tribe. Do you see? So how important therefore it is for us to keep the word of truth. God does not approve what Dan was doing. And neither does God approve of any Christian, any church that will oppose His word and set up their own religious behavior, self-opinion to come up with something that says, okay, this is the way, you know, God want us to believe in, and this is what it is how the word of God should be looked at, and so forth. You know. So remember this, and I say this again, and I say this many times. When you come to interpreting the word of God, we need to be very careful how we look at it. Amen? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for grace today, for this little thought. Help us, Father, to understand and realize, Lord, the important things of keeping thy word. Help us not to deviate, Father. Open our eyes that we might be spiritual people and not behave like religious fanatics, Lord, the Macal or the Danites who have broke your laws, coveting other things, Lord, that they could see with their eyes, and make gods unto themselves, having their own opinion, Father, as to what is right in their own eyes. We are thankful, Father, we have a King, our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have a leader, a guide in this life of ours, Father. So help us, Lord Jesus, to continue to be watchful and prayerful over that which we have learned in this hour that we live, Father. Bless us, Lord, even so in Jesus' name. Amen.